And welcome to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Jasmine Nothing.
That's me.
Taylor Barrett.
Hey, I'm wearing corn socks today.
And Georgia G.A.
Hi, I'm Georgia.
Georgia G.A. is a
school-based mental health therapist.
Yes, who I would have messed up if I tried to say it myself. What I won't mess up is this disclaimer, which says that we are for entertainment purposes only. We work in the field of mental health, but do not claim to be professionals in this space. Our intention is to have conversations around lived experience, and as a result, we may not always agree with everything our guests say, but do intend to hold space for open conversations and learning from one another. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
The segue was so slick.
Yeah. And watch this. Impressive. Watch this. Speaking of learning.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Segue.
I did that.
Holy shit.
I did that.
Whoa.
You work a little bit in like schools and stuff.
Yes. And the reason that Zane would have had a trouble saying what I do is because I've made it very confusing. I used to be a school counselor,
okay,
which is different than a guidance counselor. We don't use that term anymore. It's school counselor.
Mm.
But now I'm a school-based mental health therapist.
Okay.
So I've gone from working in primarily the educational space to more of healthcare and mental health space.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like that's extremely valuable, especially to like the youth. You know what I mean? Like that's such an important time to be learning and making those connections. So I appreciate you helping folks with that.
Thanks.
Where does the school-based fall into that? Like the school-based mental health therapist, right? Like are you like working in schools?
Yeah, so I was sharing earlier, I actually have a very like Harry Potter kind of office. It's a former art closet underneath stairs that is now my office to where I serve their students.
Did they let you keep the paint in there?
Well, they've told me that I'm only supposed to use like blue tape, painter's tape to hang up things, but I have definitely used a drill and a
thank
hammer.
Thank you. You know what? Take a stand if they're going to put you in there.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, nobody cares about the painted closet. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's a luxury office. I've made it pretty homey.
That's all we can do sometimes. Well, and I feel like education, learning, all of that stuff it's complicated, right? I'm right now trying to teach myself or reteach myself how to make music, right? A lot of self-education and stuff like that. What's been your experience with like self-education, Jasmine?
That is the only kind of education I have ever done, basically. I've never been in school of any kind, which you might think is homeschooling. Mine was a little bit different because it was more unschooling, which is like no curriculum, no structure, completely informal, everything all the time. And so anything I wanted to learn, anything I know is just stuff that I was like, oh, that's interesting. What if I like read that?
Yeah.
Which means that I have some gaps, and sometimes I fix those gaps when I'm older, and sometimes I say, meh, maybe I didn't actually need it.
Yeah.
And I just get over it.
That sounds vaguely like student-led education, you know what I mean? With like under the lens of it, like just being you, you know what I mean? It's like not even like classroom-led. It's like literally just the individual's like, I want to learn about that. And then you're like, let's go figure it out.
Yeah,
it was a lot of just my parents like dropping me off at the library and being like, and then just being there for the day and just reading whatever it was that I was really into. I was like, fine, I'll just read like a million books about this thing until I get bored with it. But like, I don't know, how often do you learn about something that you hate and then all that information actually sticks?
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So true.
No, I think that's really, I don't know. I think the amount of stuff that like, you know, like the thing I always say is like, you know, I know Y equals MX plus B, but I don't know why.
Right.
You know?
You just that so equals that?
I just don't know why, you know?
Or I have MX a minor B. in Bible and I've never read the whole book, so.
You know what?
Spoiler alert. I was interested and I did read the whole thing.
Whoa.
Because I was just curious.
Yeah.
Well,
it was fine.
But I mean, I feel like that's a good example.
As a novel, great.
As a storybook, awesome. Well, I feel like that's a good example because it's just like, if you're learning about something because you want to learn about it, you're going to do more to learn about it. You know, like if you were forced to read the Bible as opposed to like choosing to read it, like what you're going to retain is going to be different. How
Absolutely.
Interested in how much you do is going to be different.
And just the way you're passion towards this, like learning about the subject. It might not even be like passion towards the subject, but just like an undying curiosity about many things can just like allow you to absorb so much more. Where it's like, mm-hmm. even if you don't give a shit about like organized religion, learning about the Bible and like reading it. Well, I mean,
thank you.
I said even if, you know what I mean?
We're not assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Zane is religious now.
Yep.
Just right now.
Yeah, just right now. When the episode ends, back to atheism.
Yeah.
just like being genuinely curious, like allows you to just like all those interests to like root off into other things. Like you were curious about this story and you saw a character and you're like, well, where else is this character? Now you're learning about so many more facets and avenues of this one thing that like might not have been appealing if it was just thrown at you and you were told to read it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I have IMDb on my phone. Any movie, show I watch, I'm learning all about you.
Yeah.
Oh,
if
yeah.
It's a cartoon. I will recognize your voice.
The actor, voice actor, Wikipedia rabbit hole that I end up on is
so fun.
Like an hour and a half later, and I'm like, I don't care about this person.
So just out of curiosity, what has been like your experience, like your positive experiences with like teaching or passing on information?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy the route that I've gone, because I think from a really early age, I've always known that I wanted to help kids, like help either students or teenagers, that kind of stuff. Growing up, I was really religious. And so mm-hmm. I was in youth group. And so I did a lot of Bible studies. I was like the youth group leader for a lot of it. And then I went to a Bible college where I did that. And I always say, if you want to lose your religion, go to a Bible college. And I wanted to do youth ministry, but because I went to a very conservative school, I was seen as a liberal feminist. Like,
sure, that made it easy.
Yeah, her out, because we're not supposed to, apparently, we can teach, but not teenagers, but we can teach little kids, which that age varies, and it's crazy.
That doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Yeah, and
is that because it's like the rebellious phase and they're like, I don't know, they have different colored hair, this
they're
could
more
be
susceptible.
When they,
they're more susceptible to the secrets of whatever. And
how
then,
do you with piercings talk somebody out of getting piercings?
Definitely. I used to look a lot less cool, okay? I have grown into this. This is my final Pokemon evolution here. But then I went to more of wanting to be in the helping space, so counseling. I never really wanted to do teaching. Mm-hmm. And in the South, the only viable way to make a living was do like school counseling.
Mm.
And so because like there had been practices, like mental health practices in my hometown that mm-hmm. lasted less than 6 months.
Of course,
because you are to pray it away.
Yeah.
And so it's really crazy how I kind of moved out of like feeling like I had to teach this religion into morphing into being in the helping space of listening to help with mental health. Cause that I think was the thing I wanted to assist with all along, is letting people know that like they're okay and they're accepted.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I get to do it on a more practical base. And that's one reason that I like that I did go from being more in the education sphere to primarily mental health, because the only reason I care if a kid's not attending school is if they're not getting their needs met, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I get to address that part a lot more severely and not care about like the testing and because unlike you, you know, like there were so much like put on curriculum and stuff like that, like testing scores, those numbers, like that defines a kid's future a lot of the times. And so I think now I'm getting to be a more integral part in like making sure that I can help any and all kids succeed, not just your A+ students or whatnot.
Well, and
that is a form of education itself. Like educating an individual on how to like navigate their mental health struggles is often overlooked, because it's not like a subject that you're just trying to shove down a kid's throat. You know, it's like, are they attending? Are they doing math? Cool. Okay, but like now, what about their mental health? Like, what about their needs that allow them to continue doing those things?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even the connection of like, if they're not doing these things, how is their mental health impacting their ability to learn? Mm-hmm.
Right. It all goes back to like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If these basic, you know, human needs of clothing, food, shelter, if those aren't met, then how can they get to this self-actualization of like learning algebra or the Bible, to take it back? But you know what I'm saying? Like parts.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, and I feel like learning new stuff is such an important thing, because it's like, I feel like that's how you feel like progress is happening. You know, like if I know exactly what I knew yesterday, I don't feel like today's any different than then. So it's like the progress. Taylor, where have you what's something you'd like to learn more of?
Something I'd like to learn more of is like the intricacies and like the language of music, you know what I mean? Like I'm self-taught on every instrument I know, but like there's a certain like wall you hit where you like you really start to plateau, where you're like, okay, like I understand like finger position, I can like play fast, I can play like kind of technical stuff, but then when it comes to like writing stuff, like learning how to like orchestrate a polyrhythm, how the fuck do you do that? And like that,
so what does that mean? But okay.
a polyrhythm, it dates other rhythms and it's fine.
it's an open rhythm relationship. Fucking no, it's like two different timings.
What in the Portland?
It's two different timings of rhythms that are playing over each other, and then occasionally they'll line up. And there's a lot of like math, but also like music structure that you have to know to be able to like design a song that does that. And that's shit that I would love to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Jasmine, what about you? As the self-studier, what are you working on?
Magic.
We're trying to teach them magic. They're not,
I'm not trying to learn magic.
It.
It's yes, like yes,
very reluctantly.
Learning against my will. I really, lately, I just really want to learn more about cake decorating, even though I think cake is disgusting.
There you go. Cake decorating. Tell me about that. Is that like the adding the frosting on there? Is that the
cake boss? The disgusting stuff that we don't like to eat,
is
either
there
of us.
A way to make it not disgusting?
So you can make fake cakes. That's what I'm starting to do. You make it like caulk and different I said it right.
No. Sure, I was just imagining putting that on a cake.
But
I'm not
you fill
five.
The bags with the stuff, and then you can do it like icing. You can make it the same consistency as icing. Yes. That's something that I'm wanting to do for I Want Seconds. So,
but it looks like a cake, is not edible, but it's designed in the same
way. Just
getting
to decorate and practice the skill without wasting a cake.
Yeah. And you can
make
little
toy boxes. Just a bunch of
art.
That's awesome.
You guys are pronouncing that L really good.
I wanted you to know that I wasn't making a joke about that. The idea of putting that on a cake blew my mind. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I mean, like just picking up different skills and stuff like that, like, I don't know. And being able to watch yourself progress, you know, like seeing something and being like, I remember when it looked like this. I remember when it looked like this. And I remember when I thought this was the best I can do. And this is a year later.
Yeah. That's always a really fun thing to do, is like check back on the progress that you've made. Like when I started editing my own like video game clips, I had to go through all my old video game clips. And the first one I ever took on Xbox, I watched it. I was like, what the fuck was I doing? Why did I think this was good? And it's cool being able to like made so much progress that like I can see something that I used to think was good and be like, this is horrendous. This is so bad.
Yeah.
And it's like my frame for what I think is good has gotten a lot better with me getting better.
Yeah, definitely. Georgia, what about you? So you're a stand-up comedian as well. Like, what's been your process for like learning to storytell or tell jokes or any of that?
Yeah. I always say that, well, it's a funny story of how I even got started, because I didn't do stand-up until I moved here to Portland. And that came about at a training that my job sent me to that was for suicide prevention training.
Mm-hmm. That's where you start stand up.
Yeah. Well, that at the end of it, this guy, not for my agency, came up and was like, hey, have you ever thought about doing stand up?
Like, oh, you were really killing it at this suicide. Wait, I'm going to rephrase that.
Only me.
Okay, well done.
Yeah. And so then I went and I looked at Laugh PDX to see all the open mics. Yeah. And it was crazy. I saw a guy's face on a poster that I worked with in Nashville. And I was like, wild that he lives here. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I went to that one. It was at Covert Cafe.
Sure.
And from there, it was just like trying to put myself in the right rooms. But after getting to know Jasmine, I've really wanted to become a better writer just in general.
Sure. Jasmine will do that to you.
Yeah. And it's just like my favorite kind of comedies are like story-based, you know, and I have a lot of thoughts. I used to write a lot when I was a kid, and I want to learn how to like incorporate the two.
Sure.
So, yeah. But I'm also taking a comedy burlesque class.
They're teaching both at the same time.
It's the same. Yeah.
They're doing burlesque, teaching comedy.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Following. And I'm starting that in February, and I'm really excited.
Dang, that's cool.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Do you ever feel any like nervousness with learning something new?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I have so many started and not finished crafts, because if I'm not instantly good at something, I don't want to do it anymore.
Cool. Absolutely. The most relatable.
I was going to say, Jasmine, can you relate to that at
No,
all?
Not at all. Okay. I don't learn anything that I'm not immediately pretty good at. Yeah. And if I'm not, I'll just be like, never mind. I wasn't meant to do that.
Yeah.
I learned that Jasmine and I are pretty similar on a lot of fronts.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy how
we're going to compete as who's going to be the best people pleaser. Or the most helpful friend.
But would you letting the other person win make you more of a people pleaser?
I know it's going to be really tough to figure out.
Find out after this break.
You know what I mean?
We'll be right back with the smoke break.
Perfect.
And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Jasmine Nothing.
Hello.
Taylor Barrett.
Hello.
And Georgia GA.
Hi.
So on this part, we were going to talk about starting over. So I haven't talked a lot about this, but I recently got a diagnosis, right? Pretty exciting one.
And the diagnosis is?
Yeah, schizoaffective. Blah, that's right.
Every Saturday.
I'm pretty sure that's how people reveal that information.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or at least how I did.
You're really setting a precedent here.
Yeah. But with that comes like an almost like starting over phase, right? Because it's like for the longest time, I was approaching my mental illness from the perspective of I have bipolar, right? I only have bipolar, but with schizoaffective, it's a combination of like schizophrenia and bipolar. So now I know like what the other part that I need to be managing. But that's kind of a starting over phase, right? Mm-hmm. Starting over phase. So how do you start over with energy? Would be my next question. Jasmine.
Starting over with energy. That's not where we thought. I thought that was going to go.
I didn't know where it was going to go, and I was wandering until I got there.
Cool.
This is just what's happening now, right?
Yeah.
This is just what's happening now. That's a button we made together. I'm just going to completely freeze. That's what
you're
I'm
fine.
Gonna do.
No, you're totally fine. Taylor, starting over with energy.
Starting over with energy. I mean, I think there kind of has to be like a mental rest period, even if it's not like very long, just like the step back, taking a breath, like reevaluating your path forward and what that's going to look like with your new information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of uncomfortable too, because it's like I feel like once you have new information like that and you have to kind of like change your direction slightly, now you're going on this like unwalked path a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's uncertain and it's uncomfortable, but like I think that moment of respite where you're just like, okay,
yeah,
taking this information, I'm gonna breathe on it for a second, shift gears and keep moving. I think that's like the only way to kind of give you that I can think of.
Sure.
to give yourself that moment of rebuilding energy.
Yeah. And Georgia, you'd moved here kind of starting over life in your own way. Like what kind of helps you like get out there and do the next part?
Yeah. We had spoke kind of earlier. People assume that I'm very extroverted just because like I can get on stage and I can do comedy.
Sure.
But a lot of that comes from me like recharging when I'm by myself. But if I'm by myself for too long, then that's when my mental health suffers.
You gotta find the balance.
Yeah, exactly. Which is crazy because I did move out here without like knowing a single person. I moved out here sight unseen.
Mm.
I just had an interview and a job was gonna pay me to move across the country in a really pivotal time of life.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, great. I'll figure it out from there, I guess. And so I think like getting out and like do it like that friend that told me or that stranger that I met that was like, go do comedy. And I was like, that could be a good place for me to like meet and greet people. And then our friend that had founded Chubhub PDX, shout out, randomly saw me in a line at a Trixie Mattel Solid Pink disco show and liked the jacket I had on. And so I have been a big proponent of believing that if you are in the right places, you'll meet the right people.
Sure.
And so
random people change your life all the time, apparently.
Yeah.
It's really true. Cause it's just like, I'm finally like in a place that I'm no longer ashamed of like this thing that I'm presenting as a person.
Mm.
And this is when I used to move around a lot. Like starting over was my middle name.
Yeah.
Cause every year since I graduated high school, I've moved. Like
sure.
The college I went to, you moved in and out every year. I have lived in Memphis, Tennessee, Tupelo, Mississippi, all over the place. And this is the first time that I felt like I didn't have to be apologetic for who I was. And sure. I was like connecting with the right people.
Yeah.
So that's what, for me, it's that balance of recharging like that, that introverted side of myself with the extroverted side. And yeah. Meeting the right people and making the right connections, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you said about like, you know, being in the right places and meeting the right people, because it's like, I feel like that's the hardest thing with starting over, right? Mm-hmm. Because like you build this base of like, this is what feels comfortable. This is what I know. This is where I want to be. And then you step outside of that and you have to almost have that optimism of like, I could make my new best friend if I leave my house tonight, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah, I think that's really cool. What do you think makes starting over besides that, like really difficult? Jasmine.
I mean, just risk. Mm-hmm. Like the starting over is like complete risk. You have no idea what's going to come of it. Is it worth it? Should you even try it? What if you just say, never mind, I don't try anything new ever?
Okay. That was not a suggestion?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I guess not. Yeah.
I was really hoping that was a suggestion.
It's technically an option, but I don't know. I moved out here from Indiana when I was 17 and have never been back. And technically moved out here with my family, but 6 months after that was like, no, thank you. And moved out and was just like starting from fresh. And then I feel like in one way, I don't know, it's kind of like similar to what Georgia was saying. Like it was moving locations, but it was also like moving out of my parents' house for the first time. I was also living in a city for the first time and just trying to figure out who I was without the constraints of like my small town telling me exactly who I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And me realizing that I did not know the answer to that. And then I feel like years passed and then it just like happens over and over again. Like all of a sudden, like accidentally falling into social work and being like, oh, this is who I am. Cool. I've done that for ages now. When I started the storytelling show, that was also a complete accident. I did not expect to do that as a person who would not like to be perceived most of the time.
That's also fair.
And really socially anxious and never feel comfortable in like any space that I'm in or that I'm supposed to be there, then like purposely creating spaces for other people to do that on a stage.
And feel like that?
is so counterintuitive to what I expected. And is now a thing that I've done for a really long time too. So I don't know, just like that continually starting over of like, oh, maybe I'm not that person anymore. And maybe there's room to be this next person instead.
I like that. I like that. I think there's a tendency to like kind of attach your identity to who you have been or who you thought you would be, but like you can't really embrace who you are right now, you know? And if you're not going out and taking risks, you can't really become the person you're meant to be.
All that description made me think of the phrase like fuck around and find out, but like in a positive way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it gets heavily attached to like, fuck around and find out. Like if you do this, something bad's gonna happen. But if you fuck around a little bit trying to find out who you are, you might find out.
And it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It worked out.
And I liked what you were saying about like the right place at the right time. And I think that your example kind of goes to show that like, it is the right place and the right time, but if you are in the place that you want to be, then that is the right place. And if you're there often enough, I mean, plenty of right times will happen. There will be the right time just because you are there.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're like paying attention for it, then that's a huge opportunity to like, I don't know, grab onto something, meet something new, accidentally start a show that goes on for 9 years or some shit. You know what I mean? There's
9 years, nailed it.
Yeah. I pay attention.
I think for me, like, I was so wrapped up in the religion that I was brought up in. There was this kind of, if you make the wrong choice, you're going to live a consequence for the rest of your life. So that's what I know. It's crazy when I say right time, right people, that kind of stuff. Because for the longest time, I thought that I had made a mistake that led me on this path that was going to just be
just haunting you forever.
Yes. And it was like, I had a fear of that rejection because I had tied myself so tightly to this belief system that I thought was like all encompassing. And it's not to be disrespectful, but the further that I'm able to kind of take a step back, and I love that both Zane and Jasmine are here today because you guys really do represent, like, I was putting myself out in comedy and I was putting myself out with different communities like the Chub Hub and Fat Joy Summer, and it started putting me in those same rooms of people that I didn't have to fit any kind of, like, certain cookie cutter shape or be this special kind of person to just be like accepted and welcomed and embraced. Like, I think that was like the biggest revelation for me is that this life is not a consequence because like you said, when you're in those right spaces, the right times will keep coming. And this is the first time that I fully embraced that.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you saying that. That was genuinely really sweet. Jasmine, very similarly, like has put me in a lot of like places at times where it's just like, if I wasn't here right now, I wouldn't have met you. If you weren't the person you were at this time, then I wouldn't have the opportunities that I have. So I think it's very much like, it's just a matter of like showing up and taking those risks and understanding their risks. I think like a really hard thing about like taking risks is understanding that like there is going to be a disadvantage to every choice that you make. And like the sooner that you can accept that there is no choice with zero disadvantages, then like whatever the next choice is becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah. It's do the risk, fuck rejection, and get the reward. You know,
do like the risk, fuck rejection, and get the reward. That is quite the.
I'd wear that shirt.
Yeah, so many good T-shirts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That reminds me of the buy the ticket, take the ride that Hunter S. Thompson says.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Just like just do the thing. Buy the ticket, take the fucking ride. Just that it might be scary, it might be full surprise, it might be the coolest thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah.
Buy the ticket and take the fucking ride.
But not doing the thing is also a decision.
Right.
So. Like you have to make a decision either way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Decision paralysis is kind of misleading because not choosing to not do something is a choice.
Yeah,
and decision paralysis can just lock you into not doing anything, which is a choice.
Why do you think people don't decide to start over more often?
Ooh. Well, I was kind of reminded of that when I went home for the holidays. That was like my first real trip home since I've moved out here.
Sure.
And there is a level, like, I'm the first person from both sides of my family, mother and father, that ever lived outside of Alabama. Like, everybody's there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's comfort in that, you know, like, knowing that you constantly have, because in the South, like, family blood is thicker than, I don't know, duct tape. It's serious.
Damn.
That's what they say.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny going back, because it's like, I finally got to tell them, like, yeah, I'm in on the joke. I am the weird one. But, like, it makes so much more sense for me to do this out here.
Mm.
I still need that love and support. And that's what, like, there's a lot of guilt sometimes when living a life that's for yourself and not for your family, because that's, like, what's ingrained in your brain is, like, your life is to give back to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have in a lot of different ways, but I am living a life that's for me now. And a lot, I get a lot of different feedback when I go home.
Sure.
I did have one cousin be like, we have your back. And I'm like, is there going to be a brawl out in the streets?
Yeah.
But I didn't know I needed that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Somebody told me they were on my side and I was like, they're sides? And
I
really panicked.
Hold these brass knuckles off. Fuck. Warriors. Like, all right.
But it's like, I still love my family. I don't think that 100% of things are always okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just like, I'm doing the best for me out here.
Yeah.
Where there, I would have just crumpled and died.
Well, and I mean, I feel like a lot of times going back home is like that example of like the people who chose not to start over, the people who said like, this is fine. This is good enough. I liked this person enough from high school. And that's who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Or, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's that tendency to be like, well, what if it couldn't be better?
And I think a lot of the fear of starting over comes from this like sense of obligation to the people that you've been around to. Like when I decided to like not be a part of a friend group that I realized was causing me a lot of harm, you know, there was a lot of the inner discussion was like, yeah, but like they've been there through this, and like we did this thing together, and we've been friends for this long, and we know this person together, and so it would be awkward if I removed myself, and now they can just say whatever they want about me, and now I have no control over how they view me or like that perspective of me.
Sure.
And that was a hard part for me too, just knowing that like if I pulled away, they could all just agree that I was the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I kind of had to just be okay with that. Like if that's what they're gonna do, then that's what they're gonna do.
But also, and, like if you're only staying hanging out with people because you don't want them to say bad things about you and you're not there, those are people that you really want to be close with.
Exactly.
Anyways.
That wasn't the thing that was like keeping me there, but that
was a factor.
Yeah, but that was a part that I grappled with for a while, and then I had to be okay with separating from that. And so I think a lot of this like obligation and like sense of like loyalty to toxic situations can prevent people from starting over a lot. That was definitely something that was in my way for a while, where I just like I don't know if I can leave. And it's like you literally can do whatever the fuck you want. It might not be dope to be alone for a little while, but like then you can start rebuilding your circle, and it'll be a lot healthier because you've made the hard decisions to like prioritize your needs and your emotional health and your well-being and your safety, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think like all of us, like we all, our life is stuff we have created. So just like a song you create or a poem you create or a polycule rhythm that you make,
nailed it.
You know, if you want to start over, it's like you have to lose some, but sometimes it can't get better unless you start over, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And you lose the old.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, like a period of rebirth is kind of like necessary. I think that, you know, finding out you're not who you thought you were, lets you find out who you could be, you know? Like I hate that the idea that I think for so long I had this idea of like, it's going to go like this. And I'm a perfectionist, so I plan on everything going perfect the entire time. And you're not gonna believe this, it didn't. I think kind of like tracking back to what you'd said earlier is just, you know, like if I was perfect, then I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be here.
Yep.
You know, if I was any better, I wouldn't be here. I appreciate where I'm at. So, I appreciate sharing this podcast with you folks. All right. We're going to be right back and after a break, and I'm going to make this transition super smooth and Philip edited. So it looks great. And welcome to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Jasmine Nothing.
again.
Taylor Barrett.
I'm nervous for this part.
Georgia GA.
Hello.
All right. So for this part of the episode, we wanted to talk about the woke agenda.
Fuck yeah.
You gotta say it like that. Otherwise people are gonna think that I believe in it.
I don't.
And I also think that it's very strange that I'm not a conservative. I swear.
Oh, no. I think some people
have labeled compassion as the woke agenda. And I think that's kind of, I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
It's really strange. It's not the vibe, and it's really confusing to me how it like became that. Like being woke initially was like just being aware and conscious of the things that are happening around you, and like you said, compassionate. And then like people started doing that, and then conservatives were like, You're being too nice.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You're learning too much and you're being too nice.
That means you're trying to make my kids gay. And it's like, okay.
But like a little.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know.
I'm not against it.
I hope a conservative just clips that part.
I'm not trying to make
it. It's going to go really good for me. Georgia did not say that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I'm not trying to make them gay. I'm just not going to fucking want them to die if they are.
Yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? Well, and that's the problem is that it really just boils down to compassion is that like I see humans as humans, like regardless of, you know, like who they are or their, you know, any situations that they've that have brought them to being who they are. I think that is still a person. And to believe that people who use drugs is apparently this huge leftist idea to believe that they are humans regardless of that status. Mm. Like, why is that a leftist idea?
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah. So compassion, it's something that I feel like is kind of hard to convey. Like how have you become so compassionate?
I mean, I think a lot of it is like the accidentally falling into social work thing. Mm. I didn't necessarily know that that's what I was going to do. I just really needed a job when I was going to lose my last retail job. Mm-hmm. And they happened to have an opening and I thought that I bombed the interview. It appears not because I've been there for 19 years now.
Yep.
Which is a wild thing to think.
Especially for social work.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah. And
your time in social work can vote. You know what I mean?
There, I have employees that were like 6 months old when I started there. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I think that spending so much time around people, I just want people to live their best life, whatever that means for them. And I want to like walk alongside them and not decide what that looks like for them. So for some people, like folks are going to have mental health stuff. Folks are going to have like addiction stuff or substance use stuff that isn't addiction. People are going to behave in ways I do and don't believe with. And I still think that all those people deserve to be like cared for and have access to all the resources and to live their best life, whatever that is. And whatever I can do to make that happen, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
It's strange that that's like so far out there to some people. It's strange that like that is problematic thinking for some people.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of people that if they heard you say that, they'd be like, fuck no. And like you're literally just saying you want to be nice to people.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I just want people to feel good.
And show up as their most authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Georgia?
I think for me, it was like growing up, I always felt kind of othered. Like I was too fat. I was too loud. I was too outspoken and outgoing. And so my heart always was like to care for the outlier. Like my heart has always been to, I grew up in a very southern rural town and like we had some skateboarders and emo there kids and go. People in the scene.
Those are the people that you hang out with in rural towns.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Vouch.
And so as somebody that looked the part of like church girl, like I was homecoming queen and that, like those were my people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think my heart has always just been going for the people that are other, that are the outliers and stuff, mm-hmm. that feel that rejection because of X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
And I think ultimately that's kind of what led me away from like the church is just because I saw how much that was putting off on people, especially in the South, that if you were gay or if you were poor or if you were X, Y, or Z, like you were excluded from this place.
Sure.
And that was something that I didn't believe like Jesus taught,
mm-hmm,
if we mm-hmm. were going to get into it.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, it's just that like they're not aligning with the things that they believe. They're
exactly.
just like, this is all about us coming together. Now you got to go, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's what, you know, like it's crazy because like I think of a lot of people that I went to church with and grew up around, and they are quote unquote good people, but they are ones that talk terribly about people that are unhoused, or they think people, like you said, like drug addicts, like they don't deserve to have life-saving measures taken there. And when I moved out to Portland, you know, all that my hometown knew of Portland was what was seen on Fox News.
Which is great.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They perfectly
just
represent
it. Really a highlight reel of all the good things in Portland.
So when they're just, they're like, you're going to be around all of those da 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 da. And I was like, girl, bye. Like, get me out.
You promise?
Yeah.
Those are kind of all my favorite people, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Take me there. And it's crazy because these people that advocate that, like, they love God and all of this stuff, but if they lived by the actions of Jesus, all of the things they said would be crazy. Like, just to bring it up, like, Mary was an undocumented immigrant to Bethlehem.
Yeah. The things that we don't like mentioning.
Jesus was brown. Like, we got, you know what I'm saying?
And, like, hung out with, like, homeless people.
And prostitutes.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. That's the Jesus. That was the Bible.
Yeah,
that was me.
Absolutely.
I'm so sorry. That was...
It came out of
Alabama. It's
a little remnant.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, is like being able to like pull the parts out of it that like are, you know, that are important to you. Oh my God.
But also, people are allowed to make mistakes, even tiny ones, with language, and be fine and be part of everything and not become isolated.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I forgot what the topic was.
There's the woke agenda, obviously.
The woke agenda.
Our
God
agenda.
Damn it.
Our agenda.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't know. Like, I appreciate the fact that, like, we can have compassion for these people. And I think that, like, with more information and context, it's easier to do that, because it's like, if you're only given information about, like, let's say houseless people, and it's that they are lazy and that they are going to spend it on drugs, if that is all the information that you have, it makes sense why people land where they land. But it's like, once you have more information that, like, maybe it was a complicated family situation that created them an experience of homelessness for them, then you can be like, oh, okay, like, you can connect with it more. Something that I like and don't like is the people's tendency to only have compassion for things they've been through.
I was gonna bring that up because, like, there's a lot of things that I've never experienced, but it did take a little bit of me being an outlier to just recognize that there's a lot of outlying people that just like sit kind of on a fringe that get overlooked or discredited, or people are just like mean to them. And so, like, having been in like tastes of those spots, it just gave me a perspective towards the idea that, like, there's a ton of people that it's not a competition, but there's a ton of people that have it way worse than me, that are probably being treated worse than I ever have been. And like that shift, like, radicalized the living hell out of me.
Yeah.
And so, like, it does bother me when people are like, well, I care about people that have addictions, but not people that do this, or not people that have been in jail, or not people that have, like, and that like level of like isolation, putting one topic under a microscope and just ignoring the rest of it, feels very like negligent.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Well, and it was like, I'd come home the other day and I was like talking to you, and I was just like, I was walking out of a store, and this person was walking in, and she goes, yeah, I've totally been there. So, you know, like, I totally understand. Like, that's okay. And I was just like, it doesn't make, they're not okay because you've been there and you understand, you know, like, you don't have to experience something for you to have compassion that somebody else is experiencing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you having also experienced doesn't immediately mean that you have empathy towards that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like the description you just gave is like, you shouldn't be sad because I've also been there and I'm okay now.
Mm.
And it's like, that just completely discredits the person's experience in the moment, where it's like, now I feel bad that I'm sad about this, and like that just compounds.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of where, like, with the insurance CEO and Luigi, like, people are, that's where they try to flip the compassion, because they're like, well, he was a father,
of course,
he was a husband, and then
so was Saddam Hussein.
Well, I think about, like, my mom was chronically ill; she had cancer 4 times, and some of the most disparaging, like, people that I saw were in the hospitals. Like, they were crying over how they couldn't afford medication to keep their loved one alive, or that they were having to...
They were denied benefits or something?
Yeah, or they weren't even having a place to, like, live. And that's what I realized is, like, you are one, like, paycheck away from houselessness at any point, you know? Or at least my generation, like, that's one thing I get a little upset because being from the South, like my dad was a personal loan officer at a bank and I am in debt. And a lot of that was because like the education, they want to keep you poor and dumb. That's why red states stay red. And that's why like these issues of like compassion and people not being able to see it is there, because it's like, no, they don't, they want to keep it off, out of your face, alpha, you know, that's what we got to keep everything looking nice. We got to keep everything like so because,
and just like keep the gears turning. Like the school system is based on a fucking like German system to make factory workers like keep them like subordinate and not questioning like authority or anything. So like the idea that compassion isn't being taught in schools, or just like even like mentioned, the idea of like how to interact with people other than like your own immediate safety isn't really brought up in the schools.
Well, that's what, when I was a school counselor back when I worked on more of the education side, that was the big thing when people were running for school board. It was like, we don't want to bring this social emotional learning into the classroom because we don't want our children to like feel bad about, that's what critical race theory.
Yeah.
They did away with that because they were like, we don't want our children to feel bad about being white. And it's like, well,
yeah.
And they're like, we don't want our children to be exposed to different kind of families other than just like your straight heteronormative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that just blew my mind because like those children were sitting in the seat, like children from all different backgrounds were sitting in the seats, but these people would go up on the TV and like run for places. And then like I was seen as the wrong because I tried to make a space for everybody, you know?
How dare you?
I know. And it's crazy, you know? It is wild.
Well, yeah. I think the idea, the reason people are like downplaying a lot of this shit of like compassion and just like expose, like socially emotional learning and shit like that, people, because they like it's a stray from the norm. But I feel like people assume that we're trying to force people into these things, but we're just trying to like not prevent it. We like we don't want to hire somebody just because they're black, but we don't want to not hire somebody just because they're black. And like that's I don't know.
Even the playing field?
Yeah. And I think that goes so far for like representation too. Just the, like being able to see somebody like you in a position that can like inspire you. Like how many white kids have like seen a scientist and been like, I want to be a scientist or a doctor or whatever. It's like when you're not putting people that are qualified into those roles to give more representation, you're just like almost like silently like hushing like POC folks, you know? And like that's
like Miles Morales. That person, I can be Spider-Man now. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that, like, ready for it's the circle back to our first topic.
Here you go, my favorite
but
part.
Being exposed to different things help us, like, learn what we want to learn about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not that we're being forced to learn these things, especially in the school system, but having social emotional learning is just exposing kids to that thing. Like, one of the reasons that I became a school counselor at the beginning of my journey was like, I wanted kids to know that you're not just limited to work at the local factory or just go to school to be a teacher or a doctor. Like there's a lot of other cool opportunities and agencies that you can get involved with, you know? And
your life's not over just because you didn't make it as a professional athlete.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you can still do cool shit and find fulfillment.
Yeah. And that's what I think, you know, just encouraging children to even encounter compassion, whether that's through an experience I have with them. That's one thing with the kids I work with now, because I'm not in education, I get to be a little bit more open and free.
Sure.
And they're like, Miss Georgia, we really like you. You tell us how it is. Like some some therapists, they just are always on our side. But I was like, if you're being dumb, I tell you're being dumb.
And absolutely. Kids clock that. Kids clock that right away. They're just like, oh, this one keeps it fucking real. I can't like bullshit.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? But I mean,
that's being genuine.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I like that you said that, because I feel like that genuineness is the thing that, like, for as much as telling them yes builds rapport, telling them no and holding a strong holding a strong boundary also builds that rapport, because they know that when you say yes, it's because you mean yes. And when you say no, it's because you mean no. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Predictable adults are safe adults.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, awesome. Georgia, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me.
And Jasmine, thank you so much for standing in for our Zoe. I appreciate you. Yeah, did you say you're Zoe?
No, I said absolutely.
I was
I could be Zoe for today.
We're gonna pass it off.
Is Jasmine and Zoe, is it Joey?
I've been your host, your old pal Zane, here with Joey.
Okay, cool.
Taylor Barrett.
Bye-bye.
And Georgia GA.
Thank you so much.
Yep, later, players.